It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And thanks again to SeatSitters.com, our sponsor. We'll tell you more about them later. Today's topic is control.
Do we have it?
How much of it do we really have?
Do we have any? Sometimes I don't feel like I do.
Well, have you ever been told, because I know I have, that you are too controlling?
Oh, a control freak.
I got told that the other night.
By who?
Well, okay, we were planning a surprise birthday party for my youngest sister, and we're waiting in this little room, and it wasn't like a room with a door. We were just in an area, and so we were waiting for her to come in, and a couple of her kids were like up front, near the front. I'm like, we worked so hard to create this thing. Can't they just stand back 5 feet and let her walk in and be surprised?
Right.
And I said that to my other sister, and she's like, just let it go. And I'm like, okay, but everybody worked so hard to create this. Like, why do I have to let it go? And I guess I feel like it got me thinking that what sometimes people perceive as control is just, at least in my situation, me wanting everybody to follow the rules.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking, I was going between like feeling anxious for you, but then also saying, is that really control? I mean, you're just kind of pointing out like maybe the kids didn't realize it, or, you know, maybe you just wanted it to be more special for your sister. So it's not like you were trying to control anyone. You were just suggesting.
Well, I guess she thought that I was trying to control where the kids were standing. And because I was like, why doesn't somebody tell them to come back? And
right.
So I was trying to control the situation.
See, but that's the thing I think happens with, I don't want to just say women, but when you ask me if anyone's ever called me a control freak,
mm-hmm.
I think it does come across. I think maybe that has happened in my life. I don't know that on a whole, people outside of my family would say that, because with your family, and I'm not talking about like your sisters and stuff,
yeah.
But with your immediate family, someone has to take some sort of leadership role.
That is exactly it.
Yeah.
I feel like we are forced to control so much that it kind of leaks over into other areas,
yeah.
That maybe we don't want to control.
But is it a control freak? Or again, is it just someone has to take the role? So if nobody took the role, people could just be all over the party and your sister walks in, it doesn't even look like we were waiting for her. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone has to be the person that says, hey, should we step back? Can you get out of the way? I mean, I remember being at a class party for my daughter's class one time.
Yeah.
And I walked in and all the moms are standing around and the games weren't set up yet or anything. And I had no business saying anything because I wasn't like the mom.
You weren't the room mom.
The room mom or anything. But I got there and I said, oh, well, what are we doing for the next 45 minutes? And they said, oh, we just tell everyone to get here at that time. So, you know, we make sure everyone's on time. You know, we don't really have anything going on. And I said, shouldn't we be starting to set up the bowling game or the sticker center or something? And they're all looking at me like, you've never come before. Who are you? And I'm like, well, I would have come at 45 minutes later I had to leave work to come here. I didn't know we were coming here so everyone would get here on time 45 minutes early and then we start setting things up. Can we just be in advance?
That was them controlling you.
Yeah.
Making sure you showed up on time.
But that's funny because I didn't even think like that. I immediately took a step back and thought, oh gosh, I don't want to look like that. Oh, here she comes, coming in, taking control of everything, when I really wasn't trying to do that. I was just, I'm a person that likes to work ahead. Like, because what if something happens? Like, we didn't set up, and then all of a sudden, maybe there's a fire drill or something. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we have the time, we have the manpower in any situation. Like, even I try to tell my daughter in homework, if you know it's not due till Friday, but you have nothing going on Tuesday, why don't we get it done? You could get sick. The printer could break. I mean, there's things but that's not trying to be controlling. I guess in my mind, I'm seeing it as being helpful.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's funny. That's exactly how my husband is. And we try and tell my son to, like, especially with the homework, that situation just came up in our house. And my husband's like, if you, why can't you? And I'm a procrastinator.
Mm.
But I also always have a backup plan.
Oh.
Always have a backup plan.
Okay.
Which I guess is my form of control. Because, like, if A doesn't work out, we will go to B.
That's interesting.
Is everyone ready for B?
Isn't that weird? Because I never have a backup plan, I don't think.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, unless it's like in my subconscious, I don't really ever have a backup plan, but I always, and I remember the exact day I learned it was in college, 3 a.m, typing on a typewriter with a paper that was due the next day and like in tears and wanting to pull my hair out. And all I could think of is, Lynn, why did you wait till the last minute to do this? The syllabus was handed out at the beginning of the semester. And it was that minute that I said, from now on, I'm working in advance on everything. So when someone gives me a project, I like to get it done right then.
Okay, that is hilarious because that is how I wrote every paper in college. And I was an English major.
No wonder you're looking at me with shock. You're like, what's, I don't hear the problem.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, this, you might find this entertaining. Hopefully my professor doesn't hear this.
Okay.
I remember one time I was working on a paper that was due the next day and I was not making any headway with it. And I was like, I'm going to need some rest. I set my alarm for 4 a.m. Got apparently, and I set out 2 no-dos next to my alarm and a glass of water.
Okay.
So apparently my alarm went off. I got up, took the no-dos and started typing. 2 pages later, I woke up.
No.
I had no idea what I typed.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
got an
first
A
of all,
on that paper.
You didn't just age us with the no-dos or anything.
I mean,
I think today it would be 2 Red Bulls or 2 Monster drinks. I was like, no-dos. But see, I can't operate like that. Like, when I know I still have something to do, I can't sleep. So it would just have been that, like, kind of twilight sleep where you're, like, laying there, but you think you're half asleep, but you're constantly thinking of the paper you have to do. And
I kind of am that way now, but I think in college, you know, you can just fall asleep because mm-hmm. you're young. I don't know. That was, that was how I did every paper and every project. But I think that's when I learned too, like, you need a backup plan. Like mm-hmm. you need to go in and talk to the teacher, the professor, you need to.
See, and it's so, you successful, you get your stuff done, you do all that. But when I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't even have the mind space to have like all these plan B's or to think that way. You know, it's just so different.
My life would probably be easier if I lived like you, I think. I wish I were capable of that.
That's what I'm saying. And isn't it crazy how 2 people are so different? But I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people out there, some are like me, some are like you.
Some are somewhere in between.
Exactly. But I feel like when we talk about control, there's so little that you really do have control, like real control over, right? So for me, that was kind of a control thing for myself. Like if I get it done on time, nothing's going to get in my way that I can control.
You're right.
Like, you know, a kid getting sick, the printer not working, like I said, the car breaks down and I can't get, you know, whatever it is, I can't control those things, but I can control having it done early. So then I can move on to the next thing. That's, if I have something hanging over my head, it could be something super little as calling the doctors to set up an appointment for my daughter, which was like today. She keeps bugging me about an issue she has going on. And it's not like it's life or death, so I didn't rush to it, but I should have did it a little sooner. But it hangs over my head. I mean, it's not like it hung over my head for a month. I mean, talking a week. But I mean, she wants me, like, if she mentions it, I should have an appointment the next day ready for her. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it hangs on me. Maybe it's because I, like you said at the beginning, we have all the stuff that we're expected to do, all the expectations other people put on us, that the sense of control, you know, I feel like it's other people's things they're putting on me. You know, I mean, I have to control. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? It's not just Lynn's life that I'm trying to control. I've got to get her to the doctor's appointment. I got to get her to the Secretary of State. I got to pick her up at 3:30.
You got to make sure there's groceries in the house and stuff for lunch. And
so
that
it's the responsibilities of others. Like if it was just me.
Exactly.
I might be a plan B girl because I don't have anything that is like coming my way that's not being done by other human beings in the world.
I it's funny, when you started talking, I was flashing back to when we used to travel as a family when the kids were little, because we just went on vacation and my son ended up carrying my suitcase for part of it. And I said, thank you very much for doing that. And I don't remember what he said. And I said, well, you know, I used to carry your suitcase all the time. He was like, you're going to owe me. And I'm like, well, I used to carry your suitcase. All the time.
Oh, wait, let me get my debit sheet out here.
And then I remember that when we traveled, when the kids were little, not only did I pack for everybody, but I was the pack mule. I carried everyone's bag. And my husband would just walk on ahead and occasionally remember to look back and make sure we were following.
What?
Yes. I had all of it.
And see, this is my gosh, you're just walking right into my things that I've seen throughout life that I've learned. I was on a vacation with like 4 other couples and the women all went to this like spa to get a facial or massage, whatever they wanted to get. And afterwards we all met up, and when we went to the spa, we had to fill out a questionnaire. And one of the questions was, you know, how stressed are you? 1 to 10, like in your daily life. And I put a 1 because I really feel like I don't take on a lot of stress. I let it, like, because I try to get things done just in my own world. Like,
yeah,
I try
no,
not to like, let
and
it,
you are very easygoing.
Yeah.
You are very much roll with the punches.
Yes, I just you learned don't need to roll plan the punches. B. Right.
Your life is plan B.
Right. So the girls all, now, no offense to these women, but at the time, they were all stay-at-home moms, which is a very, very hard job. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking that away. But I was also a mom, but also worked. And I had put a 1, and they had all put a 10. So I said, oh, my God, what's a 10? What's stressing you guys out so much? Because immediately that helper girl comes out at me where I want to help them. Like, well, how can I help you? What's stressing you out? And two of them said, well, one, for example, one, this vacation stressed me out. I said, why? She said, well, not only do I have to pack for myself, but I pack for my husband. And I just went, whoa, whoa, whoa. You pack for your husband?
Well, I've never packed for my husband. I will say that. He would pack his one bag and I had to do everybody else's.
Yeah. So they said, oh, yeah, you don't? I said, no, because if I packed for my husband, I would already have more stress because if I forgot a certain belt or a pair of socks or a shirt he really wanted, it'd be like, did you pack that shirt? No. And then I feel bad and now I'm stressed. Did I get everything he wanted? I'm like, well, that's causing stress on you when they're grown men.
Are they?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother show. But yes, they are, like, they should be able to pack for themselves. So it's like some people take on more and then want to say how stressed they are.
Yes, you're right. You're right. People like take it on,
yeah,
and then complain about the stress. So they are trying to control everything and then complaining about having too much control.
Right.
I'm trying to get rid of control.
Me too.
Like, I was at the school volunteering last week. My son's in theater, so I'm helping out with costumes. And I was talking to another mom who's also the mom of a senior. And she's like, oh, I'm starting to get emotional. You know, this is the last show. I'm like, I'm so ready to be done. Like, I love it.
Right.
I've been grateful to be involved. And I've enjoyed not only watching my child, but all of the other kids and how talented they are and how hard they work. It's really been a wonderful experience that I am so ready to leave behind.
Right.
Because I don't need that anymore. I don't need to be driving around finding costumes and size 11 brown shoes. And,
right.
You know, it's.
Well, now here. See, now there's another difference. So I wasn't complaining when I was saying that we have to worry about having groceries or whatever. That's part of
what
all of our responsibilities are. Right. Now, you just said you're ready for the volunteering for the theater to stop. Now, as we were walking in, I told you my daughter's getting her license in 2 weeks. Right.
Yeah.
And I said it like kind of sad. I said, well, I guess I'll have my life to myself soon, because if I don't have tasks that have to be done every day or places I have to be, I get a little bit, and I don't want to use the word depressed, but sad. I feel like I then can't get anything done. Like, if I don't have a list of to-dos, I literally become like a blob of like, no, I can't even focus. And it's terrible.
What do you end up doing?
I end up inventing things I need to go do,
okay,
or stretching out like errands that I don't really, you know, have to run all at once. So I'll say, well, you know, I'll do that tomorrow because I really don't have anything in the afternoon now, which it's terrible. Like, I can't just enjoy being by myself or sitting down and reading a book. Like, I feel so uncomfortable when I just sit down to read a book. Like, I should be doing something else.
I'm so sad for you right now.
I'm very sad for myself. I can't stand it.
Wow.
I used to read all the time.
I know. We were in a book club together.
Yes, and I haven't read a full book. And I liked reading. I love reading. But I don't know. When I sit down and I'm not like super busy or having to run somewhere. I start to slip into like a place I don't want to, you know, go. So it's really weird to me that I have this thing. Like, I'm so busy and I try to control everything so nothing gets my way, so I have to have a plan B. But then when I have nothing to do, I'm totally out of my comfort zone.
Have you always been that way?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
But you said you used to read. So yeah. Did you feel guilty when you read then?
Not because it was before really I had kids.
Okay.
So I wasn't used to having like this, you know, 24/7, like get here, pick them up, drop them off, go to the hockey, you know, go to school, parent night, you know, everything like that. It was always a full calendar. And now it's like, not only is my daughter getting her license, but the hockey season ends like 5 days apart from each other. And I spend a lot of time watching her play hockey. So now I'm like, my gosh, I'm going to have to come up. I don't have any hobbies though. And that sounds kind of sad. I do like yoga. So I got to get back into that. I haven't been doing it for like the last 3 months. So that's something
Lynn would
I can
like
do.
Some book recommendations.
Book recommendations, hobbies.
We're gonna
anyone want to join a curling team? I've always thought that would be interesting.
What?
I thought I could do really good at curling. I'm like, Yes.
You like to sweep?
I can yell.
Or push and heavy rocks. Which part do you like best?
I like yelling and sweeping. Okay. So I think I can definitely be that person.
Okay, well, all this talk about travel has reminded me that we do need to let you know about our sponsor, SeatSitters.com.
Yes. Did you know that airplanes are filled with hundreds and hundreds of nasty germs? And have you ever noticed that after you fly, sometimes you get sick?
Always.
Always, right? Well, we watch what we eat and we exercise. So why wouldn't we want to stay healthy when we fly? Well, that's why SeatSitters Travel Kit was created. It was created for that exact reason, clean, healthy travel. This kit comes with a seat cover, a tray table cover, two sanitary wipes, an allergy mask, and a no-nut sticker. For under $20 per kit, you can fly healthy. So don't spend another vacation with a sick family member. Order your SeatSitters Kit today at SeatSitters.com.
Oh my gosh, my hairdresser just told me they flew down to Florida for break. His wife and two of his daughters got sick.
Oh,
He's like, my youngest was my dinner date two nights in a row.
See, and I almost feel bad because we're going on a class trip with Grace where we're going to fly in June. And I already have two seat-sitter kits for her and I.
And you don't have them for everybody
right?
else.
Right. And I feel like, did you bring enough for everyone in the class? Like, I feel like they're going to be looking at me like, oh, what's going on? I'll be like, oh, sorry.
You're on your own.
Yeah. On your own, seatsitters.com.
Okay, but they could control that situation themselves.
Right. I don't have to feel guilty for that.
Okay, so going back to that, it's funny. I was thinking about it this week, and what you said, the only thing you can control, and I keep hearing and reading, the only thing you can really control is how you react.
Yes.
To things.
Yes.
And I always do try to control my reaction, and I'm not very good at it.
Oh, really?
No. Oh, no. I'm terrible. Like, I don't look at my son's grades anymore because I know as much as I don't want to react, I'm going to.
Right.
There's certain things I just don't do because I know I'm not going to react well.
That's a good point. And I think you get that with age. You know what I mean? I think that I've come to terms with certain things. Like you said, let things roll off my back. When I was way younger, did not let that happen. I was like stress ball. Like I was 20 years old and was told by the doctor because I kept getting canker sores, which are like basically ulcers inside your mouth.
Yeah.
And they come from stress. And I had to go take a class at a hospital for 6 weeks at the age of 20.
Wow.
Because I was so stressed and so, you know, overwhelmed and not being able to, you know, for better lack of a better word, control anything I felt like in my life. I felt like I was spinning out of control. And, you know, one of the things that I've had that we can, you know, definitely talk about next show because it'd be too long for this show. But early in my life, I was diagnosed with OCD, so obsessive compulsive disorder. So that went hand in hand with this. I already knew I had that and I had been going to the doctor and then these canker sores kept coming. And that is really a thing of trying to control things you can't.
Well, yeah. I mean, because I know a few people who have it, who suffer from it. And that is exactly what it is about, isn't it?
100%.
It's control.
Yeah.
It's if I do this, this won't happen.
Exactly. Yes.
But a lot of times there are things that don't really connect to each other.
No, it's things that you can't even control. When I was 3 years old, when I can first have my first memory of it, the thing I was trying to control was my parents dying. So if I did this, then my parents won't die. And that was at the age of 3. So, you know, I've come a long way since then and, you know, many years of, you know, dealing
with
OCD.
All right. So I'm going to tell you a story. And at the risk of offending some listeners, I was raised very fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the 70s. And there was talk of, I mean, I was raised fundamentalist, like, to the extreme.
Okay.
And there was lots of talk of the return of Jesus then, and it was a huge topic. And we had this very scary hellfire and brimstone minister. And he, every week, would preach, you know, the Lord is going to come back on the day the least amount of people are expecting it. And I was an 8-year-old kid going, I don't really want the world to end and have revelation happen and war and horses and all of that stuff that, you know, it said was going to happen. And so I would walk around all day thinking about Jesus coming back because I'm like, if I'm thinking about it,
right?
There's but I'm like, what kind of that's a little insane.
Yeah. I mean, but you grew up with that.
Well, yeah. But I was also trying to control it all by myself.
Exactly.
I was trying to save the world
you
all
thinking,
by
if
myself.
If you fall off, then how many others have fallen off? And
exactly.
This could be the day. Exactly.
I could be the tipping point. I could be that one vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how they tell
Whereas another person could hear that, maybe one of your siblings, and not given a second thought.
They didn't. We've talked about it to this day. They don't even remember it. I'm like, are you kidding?
See?
I was in a constant state of anxiety.
See, yeah, that's what I was in. You know, and like I said, we can talk about that another time, because there's better ways to get control in your life. You know, I know I did some research before our show today, and I think you did too.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really stuck out to me was, think about what your worst fear is. It's almost like what you said, plan B, right? Think about what your worst fear is and how you would handle if it happened. And I used to worry every day, oh, maybe I'm going to get fired. What if I get fired? What if I lose my job? Well, then guess what? I got fired. The world didn't end. Mm-hmm. You know, no one died. Mm-hmm. No one took away my children. It's over. You know, I moved on. I'm doing better things than I was. I'm happier in life, but it happened. But I spent all those years worrying about it happening. And then it happens. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's like, think of what your worst fear. And then other people have gone through it. Like people who are pregnant, and then they say they can't have the baby because they're so scared. And it's like, well, honey, I don't know if you know this. There's no other way for it to come out.
Exactly.
You're having a baby.
You are going to have that baby. I know, it's funny. Because I do feel like now, I do feel like control does not keep me from doing things. But sometimes I find myself not even attempting things because I know I'm not going to be able to control how they turn out.
Mm.
So I'm like, I'm not going to have any control over that. So why bother?
Well, I think that in the article I read, this goes hand in hand with what you're saying. It said to also face something you fear every week.
Oh, good Lord.
And what I was thinking was, when you and I, we've been taking these improv classes.
Yes.
And when you first suggested it to me, I was like, okay, you know, yeah, I don't want to be doing this a lot in front of people, but I'll try it. And then the first class, I find out we actually have to do a show. I was scared to death.
I was just as shocked by that announcement and just as scared.
I was like, a show? I mean, they're selling tickets. So everyone I knew that was coming, the tickets are only $5. So I said, if it's bad, I'll pay you all back. You know, because I was so worried that people are going to be like, why did we spend $5 on this? And lo and behold, we've now done it 4 times.
Yes.
And we're signing up again. So, I mean, I don't know if that I can find something every week that I'm going to, you know, have fear with. But doing it now, it's not so bad. And now I have people asking me, like, how did you do that? Were you scared? You know, it is scary, but we lived.
It is scary. And I think sometimes it's just taking that first step.
Yes.
It's like
100%.
Just take that first step.
Yes.
Just start it. And it's funny. I think I've told you this because my son is ADD and my brain is that way too. And so if I see a huge project that needs to be done, I get overwhelmed.
Okay.
Because I can't honestly look ahead and think. I can't imagine how that's going to get done.
Right.
I can't see the steps in how to execute something unless somebody helps me point them out.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I just have to leap. I just have to
Do it.
Start it and then kind of figure out my way on the way through it.
Yeah. I liken that to, I don't like roller coasters, but once you're on, you can't get off.
Yeah.
So I always say to people, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing something scary, I'm like, I feel like I'm at the top of the hill at that roller coaster. There's no way off now. I got to go down. So I've always said it's that first step, signing up for the class.
Yes.
One of these things that, you know, people feel that they can't control is money or their career. Well, maybe it's because they just got stuck in a rut. They could make more money if they were doing something they enjoyed more. But it's like always what came first, right?
Yes.
You know, don't put the horse in front of the wagon in front of the
cart, in front of the horse.
So don't, you know, worry about that. Just take that first initial step. Maybe it's just taking a class. And then don't get all like, I have to quit my job. Just start taking classes. Start networking with different friends that do the job that you're interested in.
That's
it's
very
that
good advice.
First step to make changes.
I like this. I like, because you can control that tiny little step.
You can. It's up to you. Who's going to stop you?
Okay, so let's all find a tiny little step we're going to take this week.
Okay.
I actually already have one.
Oh, good.
I'm working on a new book project with a co-writer, and we are meeting tomorrow to map it out.
Nice.
I'm scared to death.
Okay.
I've never done this before. I've never written this type of book before, but it's happening.
Okay. Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. What's your tiny stuff?
I don't know.
Be?
You're catching me off guard. I'll have to come up with something.
Well, you can check out on our social media. Check out our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com. That's got all the information, how you can reach us, how you can listen to us. And thanks again to SeatSitters.com, our sponsor. See you next week.